Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up? What's happening on what we're calling Draftapalooza Friday here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. The reason I'm calling it Draftapalooza Friday is because we are going to touch on elements of the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the WNBA draft all in the show. In fact, we're going to touch on all of them in both halves of the show. We have some playoff talk as well. We'll preview the NBA playoffs, make our predictions coming up at 5:30. We'll hit the Eastern Conference 5:45. Actually, 5:40. 5:45 the East, 5:30 the West. In between now and then, Zach Harper will join us at 5 o'clock to fix the NBA's draft lottery. I think that he and I can do it because it is fundamentally broken. We will do that at 5 o'clock. We have a great chat with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic on a huge sports gambling, ongoing story. It's the one that involves Jonte Porter, the now suspended former Raptor, who has been banned from the NBA. He had more details in his reporting on that. And then we are going to round out WNBA draft week by letting you hear a conversation with Jamila Weideman, the general manager of the Mystics, and live at 4:30. Lindsey Gottlieb completes our first round coaches. We got them all. We got every single one of them. Anthony, round of applause for you, sir, for some excellent producing. We got Kenny Brooks on Tuesday to talk about Georgia Amore. We got Neil Ivey on Wednesday to talk about Sonia Citron. And today we have Lindsey Gottlieb from the University of Southern California to talk about the Mystics' fourth overall pick, Kiki Iriafen. So we did it. We got them all. Anthony, excellent work out of you. Are you prepared to do the same exact thing next week with NFL draft picks?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good, because that's your job. And you're doing a great job. So that's not said in a threatening manner. That's said in an exciting manner, because, holy cow, we're doing it. Today on the show, though, we are going to start with some thoughts on the NFL draft. And their thoughts are going to come from Matt Miller, the ESPN NFL analyst who has joined us before. Matt and I had our annual sit down when I was in Indianapolis for the Combine. And yesterday, Wednesday, he phoned into the Grant and Danny program across the hall at 106.7 The Fan and had some interesting thoughts on the idea that the Commanders will be taking an edge in this draft. There's one small problem with that, according to Matt Miller.
I think what will be interesting to see is how wiped out the board is at defensive end, especially because you have so many teams in the middle of the first round with a clear-cut need at edge: Atlanta, Arizona, Cincinnati, and they pick back-to-back-to-back. You have the Chargers at 22. They could definitely take an edge rusher. The Ravens at 27, the Lions at 28. So there's like six teams between pick 15 and we're Washington at 29 that could take edge rushers. So it will be like, if you want to sit there as a fan on Thursday night, print out my rankings if you want and cross off those edge rushers, because we can all want an edge to be there at 29. There might not be, because that run could absolutely happen.
It could. And so let's go through that exercise actually real quick. I was going to do this with, by the way, Anthony. I got to say real quick, as I pull up Matt Miller's rankings, because he's the one who said this, it feels only right that we use his rankings, not somebody else's. But I did get a hard copy of The Beast. Ooh. I don't know if you saw this on my Instagram yesterday.
I did. I think Rachel recorded you opening the package.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I posted the picture on my Hoffman Sports Instagram. You saw it on my personal Instagram. Yeah. Rachel, my dear wife and I are having very different weeks at work. To say the least, but, I got my hard copy of The Beast, and I'm pretty pumped about it. It is thick. She's thick with about three C's, Anthony, that Beast draft guide.
It looked like it was.
Yeah. Matt Miller, though, has his top 600 prospects on ESPN.com. And so if we just control F edge here, let's play a game, Anthony. Will this player be available for Washington at 29?
Uh-oh.
Ready to play the game.
Yep.
And by the way, we kind of played this game yesterday because we did a mock draft, and I made sure that we were going to have this conundrum, and we still did get an edge at 29. But Abdul Carter.
He will not be available.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to be available. He is the number one overall player on Matt Miller's board. Next up, we have Jalen Walker, number five player on Matt Miller's board, and he's an edge out of Georgia.
He will not be available.
Very, very unlikely. I will say he might be available later than people think. He is very high on Matt's board. He's very high on Dane's board. He's very high on a lot of boards. But he's a very particular kind of player, and I don't like, all it takes is one. If Carolina loves him at 8, then like, okay, fine, he's done. If Arizona at 16 loves him, then okay, it's done. He's a bit of a different, like, he's not a full complete player in the way that Abdul Carter is, or even some of these other guys that just don't have the upside. He's one worth watching, but he very likely is not going to be available at 29. Okay. Mike Green. Edge, Marshall.
Possibly. I would say maybe there's a 40-50% chance.
Here's what I would say. If he's available at 29, you don't want him. Because if he's as good as he is and he falls that far, he's falling for reasons that he should be completely off your board from a character standpoint. Slash a things he's done standpoint. Again, Green has been alleged of sexual assault twice. Teams are doing their investigation. Their teams are doing their homework. The results of that work will be what it will be. But if everyone's like, we're not touching that, then you should not be the team that's like, yeah, it's fine with us. No good on Mike Green if he's available. All right. Next up, 27th player on, Matt Miller's board, Shamar Stewart.
I would probably say there's a 50-60% chance he's available just because of the raw talent and the lack thereof production.
The lack of production is what's going to make him available. And at 29, again, because they don't make dudes that are 6'5", 270 that run 4'5", and jump 40 inches and have an 11-foot broad jump. Like, this dude as an athlete is rare. And if he's available at 29, it might be worth it. But probably not going to be available. Mikael Williams, edge at Georgia. Slightly downsized version of Shamar Stewart with more production. 6'5", 260. Definitely missed, the production wasn't as good in 2024 because he had an ankle issue. But looked way more explosive on the 23 tape.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. Maybe
he's
60.
He's gone. That dude's not making it. But he is 28th player on Matt Miller's board.
Uh-oh.
Ezeraku, he's 36th on Matt Miller's board.
This is your guy, Craig. I think there's a 67. I think there's a maybe a 70%, 75% chance he's available.
The closer we've gotten, the less available I think he's going to be.
Oh.
I just think some team's going to be like, why wouldn't we take the guy that had 16 and a half sacks?
And that guy might be the guy that recruited him to Boston College, which is Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hathaway.
Worth saying.
He finished second in FBS in sacks. Now you get into the guys that I think are going to be available. Landon Jackson, edge, Arkansas.
Available.
But do you want him at 29? Like, he's... To explain the difference in a guy... Because, like, I can make a case, or I can start talking about him in a way that will make you go, yeah, sick, sign me up. Dude plays his absolute face off. He is like a command... Like, when I... 3 months ago, when Logan started watching guys, and I was like, who's got the commander tag for you? Landon Jackson might have been the first guy that he mentioned. This dude plays so hard. His effort is incredible. He loves football. And he's 6'6", 264. He's got really good measurements in terms of like the 40s and the jumps. And like, dude's a freak athlete. So you're like, well, what's the problem? He's stiff as a pass rusher. He doesn't have great production. He just doesn't have a lot of pass. Like, despite the athleticism, which can help him play the run and all that kind of stuff, he doesn't have the pass rush juice to be a first round pick. And so that's why he's available. Next up, Femi Oladejo. He's a guy that has all of a sudden been pushed up lists, but is probably not a first rounder. The only other two guys that I think are worth mentioning, these guys are outside of Matt Miller's top 50. James Pierce Jr., the edge out of Tennessee, he's got him at 54. So that's really low for Pierce as a player based off the tape. And again, there's the character questions. We had the great conversation with Jeremy Green yesterday about this, but it's going to depend on whether they think that he's just immature or whether there's more there to be worried about of whether or not he's a guy that they would take as a commander. I also will say this, even if there's questions about it, the more I think about it, the less I think that they're going to take him. Because even though Jeremy like opened my eyes to the idea, he's not going to get the commander tag. And there's no way that they're going to take a guy in the first round that doesn't get the commander tag, right? Like that seems the simplest way to explain this.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. But again, like they're going to do their due diligence as far as, you know, figuring out like who this guy is, who he really is. Because, again, what's being reported, you know, out there and then what Jeremy's heard, you know, they're contrasting viewpoints on him. So,
yeah. And to be clear, there's no dispute over the facts. Right. The dispute is what it means. Right. Is this a bad kid who doesn't love football and is in it for the wrong reasons? Or is this an immature kid in a bad program who, when put in better circumstances and allowed to grow a little bit as a person, will be just fine?
Yeah.
And Jeremy's contention is he's not a bad kid. It's a bad situation, which I'm open to. And frankly, like if James Pierce is not a bad kid, and he's 21 years old, like we should be sensitive to that. Like we just chop these kids up like, ah, whatever. They're just characters in a video game. Like these are young men. And I think we can be human about that. And the older all of us get, now that I sit here as a 35-year-old, like I realize just how young 21 is. So I don't want to be insensitive here. And so I very much hope that all the scuttlebutt winds up being wrong about James Pierce and that he is a good kid and that he grows into a good young man and has a very successful career because he finds a group of people that get the best out of him. I just don't know that if you do the cold hard analysis, if you're Adam Peters, is that a risk you want to take at 29 when you built your whole program on dudes who are commanders that you're taking in the draft? Because I just don't feel like, even if you feel like he's a little immature, that is the kind, like compared to like we want Mikey Sainer still, like we want Jaden Daniels. That to me is the kind of guy that they go after. The other guy that's worth mentioning, Nick Scorton, Texas A&M. He's the only other guy I've ever seen mocked in the first round that's on this list. Everyone else, you're looking farther down the list. You're looking at guys that are second, third, fourth rounders. So that is the edge class and kind of where it is. Matt also talked to Grant Danny about the corner class. Could there actually be better options there at 29? You'll hear Matt Miller from ESPN's thoughts next on the Hoffman Show before Lindsey Gottlieb, head coach, USC women's basketball, joins us at 4:30. University of Southern California women's basketball coach Lindsey Gottlieb joins us 4:30. Kiki Iriafin, of course, drafted out of USC with Lindsey on, or you know, from Lindsey's program on Monday by the Mystics. So we'll talk to Lindsey Gottlieb about Kiki Iriafin coming up here in just a little bit. But Anthony, we were just talking about how the edge class might not work out in the Commanders' favor. They could wind up with no one left to take at 29 at probably their most, I won't say their most dire, but their most pressing position of need. I will say we got a comment. I was rolling through the comments before the show. I guess I'll tell myself I was preparing for next week's edition of Never Read the Comments, not that I'm a sick individual. But we got a comment on yesterday's show on the Team 980 page that was basically like, there's so many great wide receivers in the division. What is this obsession with edge? And I just would remind this person that if the quarterback can't get the ball to a receiver because he's under pressure, or forces a bad throw because he's under pressure, those receivers become a lot less effective. And the same, to an extent, the same can be said about a corner in reverse. Like if there's coverage, it makes your pass rush better. But typically, the front line affects the back end more than the back end affects the front line. Because the quarterback's still got to see it. And so if you bust coverage and most fans never know it because there's a sack or a pressure, and maybe there's a wide open dude down the left sideline, but the quarterback gets flushed to the right. It doesn't even have to be a sack. Like you can make up, or make a quarterback throw something crazy back across the field, which gives time to get back. So that's why the edge is so important. One, obviously they need a dude. They need a premier edge rusher. They don't have pass rush juice right now, in the way that you would want. But also, it helps everybody else in a way that doesn't necessarily go back in reverse the other way. There's some impact there, but not as much as the other as the edge to corner direction. And Matt said we might run out of edges because there's a run there in the middle. You know, the Falcons at 15, the Cardinals at 16, the Bengals at 17, the Seahawks at 18. Anthony. What happened in our mock draft yesterday when we got to those picks?
It's funny you asked that, Craig, because, again, there was exactly a run on edge. And it actually started before the Falcons. It started with the Colts selecting Donovan Ezeroaku, and then the Falcons, Jalen Walker, Cardinals, Walter Nolan, Bengals, Mykael Williams, Seahawks, Mike Green. So this could, like, very well happen because we did this. But it could also not happen. In our first mock, we only had one edge taken between those picks. So who knows how this is going to play out?
It's the beauty of the draft. Take, you know, one turn, you know, because the first one goes and everybody panics.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, here we go. And so we could see that go down. So if all of a sudden the Commanders are stuck with corner at 29, what does Matt Miller, again, ESPN NFL draft analyst, so who's on with Grant Danny on Wednesday, think that the Commanders could be choosing from?
Yeah, I think John A. Barron will be gone from Texas. I think Will Johnson from Michigan will be gone, despite the fact that he didn't have a good pre-draft process. His tape's just too good. The interesting ones would be Trey Amos from Ole Miss and Max Harrison from Kentucky. And they're very different guys. Amos is 6'1", 200 pounds. He lives at the line of scrimmage. Harrison's, you know, 5'10", 180 pounds. He's a really good slot corner. And his foot speed and quickness are crazy, crazy good. His Senior Bowl combine tape are fantastic in that area. So you could get a corner. You're kind of almost, I think those two are the realistic ones with round one grades who could be there. And they're, again, they're very different. I would think Harrison would be almost a little bit redundant with Mikey Sanger still there. But if you wanted to, I think you can find a way to get them both on the field if that's the situation you're in.
This is going to sound like I'm saying something dirty, Anthony, but I'm not. There's an O in the middle of this word. When we had Jeremy Green on yesterday talking about this group of corners on Take Command, he said this is the slottiest group of corners that he ever did see. The slottiest yeah. people. As in, there's a ton of slot corners in this class, and there is just not a lot of dudes who play outside. And that becomes interesting later when you've got a million slot corners that you could choose from, or a very select number of guys who can genuinely play outside. This is interesting because I think Washington has come around to the fact that maybe Mike Sanders still is an outside guy. But if they want to get him back inside, Trey Amos is your guy there. Maybe Savon Rovell, but probably Trey Amos. And then there's a kid that we wound up taking in, I think it was the fourth round in our mock, the Take Command mock. But I know a lot of the draft Knicks love. Noah Williams out of Cal. Like, rangy, got length, scrappy as hell. Like, plays his face. Like, definitely could get the Commander tag if the off the field. I don't know anything about him off the field, but, like, his on-field play style, very Commandery. Will come, like, he'll get blocked in the run game because he's a corner and every corner gets blocked, but he's going to be trying. He will get caught trying in a way that, like, I don't know, sorry to pick on you, old friend, but Emmanuel Forbes would not necessarily get caught trying. And so there's a chance you could attack that later in the draft, but I do wonder how the class, like, I feel more comfortable taking a Trey Amos at 35, 36 than I do at 29. Like, let's see if we can trade back, but you know, the trade back thing is just, it's going to take, I think, a quarterback falling or a quarterback needy team wanting the fifth-year option or someone else falling that the Commanders don't want. Somebody like a Walter Nolan, who some teams are going to have a really high grade on. They're like, man, we want the fifth-year option on that. D-tackles are getting expensive for the Commanders to have that as an option. You know, it's a trade back. It takes two to tango, and this is a class that is very trade back friendly, which means it's not very trade up friendly. Darn.
Yeah.
Darn. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we continue our coverage of the 2025 WNBA draft. We started Monday by previewing the draft. We were on during the draft. And then as the week has gone on, we have had not one, not two, but assuming that this next segment goes as planned, all three of the Mystics first round picks, college head coaches on the show. Lindsey Gottlieb from USC joins us next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Of course, we're your home this summer for Mystics basketball. You'll hear Megan McPeak, Christy Winter-Scott on the call all summer long on the simulcast of Monumental Sports Network's coverage. And we've been your home for WNBA draft coverage all week. Not only our own breakdowns and analysis, but we have been very lucky, very fortunate to be joined by the college coaches of all three of the Mystics' first round picks, concluding right now with the head coach of the women's basketball team at the University of Southern California, where, of course, Kiki Iriafen finished her career. It's Lindsey Gottlieb with us here on The Hoffman Show. Coach Gottlieb, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Always excited to talk W and certainly our girl Kiki.
For sure. It seems like the Mystics got three incredible young women, got a chance to meet them at the press conference the other day. Kiki, just such a bright, effervescent person. Can you tell us about the first time that you met her and how maybe not much you loved her all those years having to play against her at Stanford before you got her into your program, as lovely as she might be as a person?
Yeah, when I first knew of her, when I first knew her, are kind of two different things. But I remember before I went to the Cavs, I had seen, this young, gangly, talented player, and was like, who is that? You know, when she was playing, in club basketball in California. And then I went to the NBA and she ended up at Stanford. And then fast forward a little bit, and I came back to USC and I'm like, how are we going to guard this kid? And I would also watch her workout videos over the summer and just kept seeing her improve and improve. So that was all before I actually knew her. And then when she went into the transfer portal, you nailed it. Beyond her talent, beyond what she can bring to the court, she is magnetic. She is brilliant. She is a terrific, bubbly personality. And I remember, once we got her coming into practice every day, kind of going, dang, I can't believe I only have her for 1 year. And I was like, oh, Lindsey, don't get spoiled. This is better than no years. And that's just kind of how you feel about her, every time you're around her.
It also seems like both in talking to her on Wednesday and hearing her answer everyone else's questions, but also, I mean, this is a weird thing, but like just a thing that caught my eye and caught my brain is the fashion choice she made on Monday night. Like, there's real depth to her as a person. For those that don't know, the gold dress she wore, designed by a Nigerian designer, of course, Kiki of Nigerian background as well. There's real, beyond the bubbliness, there's real depth to her. When did you maybe realize, or is there a story that you can tell us about when you realize just how much there is to Kiki Iriafen?
Oh yeah. I mean, that you can tell from the first conversation. When she first went in the transfer portal, I called, right away when we were allowed to do so. And she texted me, she said, hey coach, I'm going to class, can I call you after? And she graduated from Stanford in 3 years with an engineering degree. I mean, think about that, right?
That's nuts.
At some point, it's nuts. It's insane. I think she knew at some point when maybe she had this inkling that she might want to transfer, she was not going to leave there without a degree. And so I thought, planned ahead, graduated in 3 years, and then had an opportunity to do something else with the final year. So from the moment you talked to her, you knew decisions were being made around basketball, because she's a serious student of the game and, always wanted to be a pro, but also with depth of thought around, many, many things. Her family is really important to her. Her Nigerian culture is really important to her. There's a lot of layers to her personality, and that's something you tell from right away when you meet her.
Lindsey Gottlieb, the head coach at USC for their women's basketball program, with us. Of course, the Mystics took Kiki Iriafen fourth overall on Monday night. Lindsey had Kiki for her final year in college. And I was really lucky on Monday, Lindsey, to have Christy Winter Scott, who I know, I'm assuming you know, because she called some of the games out there this year. But she was with us all show on Monday, and we were talking about Kiki quite a bit because, all the mock drafts had Kiki and Sonya coming to the Mystics with those third and fourth picks. And one thing that really impressed Christy was her knowledge of the game as a screener and the way she just moves around the court, finds spaces. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how, like, who she is as a player and how you were able to use her because of that basketball IQ, maybe in a way that's different than your average college power forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kiki was also really thoughtful in going to the portal. I mentioned, first of all, that she wanted to get that Stanford degree. And then it was not just, let me go anywhere. I think she was thoughtful about taking this year to try to help a team win a national championship, but also getting herself as ready as possible to be a pro. And I think that's not talked about enough. There's a lot to be said for comfort, especially when you're, you know, 20, 21 years old. But I think she got out of her comfort zone knowing that, you know, in one year, you gotta do some different things. And so our system is a little bit more pro style. You know, we try to utilize our bigs, you know, and give them a lot of freedom to read screening angles. Am I rescreening? When am I rolling? When am I kind of touch and go? And in addition, we wanted to make sure that Kiki's perimeter skills were on display. So gave her a lot of opportunity to kind of handle the ball and pick and pop and make decisions and defensively let her go out there and guard 1 through 5, do a lot of switching, do different ball screen coverages. So she really was wanting to grow. Like, and say, put me in new spots, let me do new things. And that can be uncomfortable at times, but ultimately I think it made her a better player for us. But also made her, I think, more ready to step into camp. I mean, camp's still going to be an adjustment and terminology may be different, but I don't think there's a thing that they're going to ask her to do that she is not familiar with now, and is not capable of doing. I think, she's really bright and also willing to take on, a number of different roles on the court.
The basketball nerd in me wants to ask you a side question real quick, so I'm going to take the liberty to do that. You mentioned you spent some time with the Cavs in the NBA, and obviously you're a big fan of the WNBA as well. How have you seen, let's put the time frame last decade or so, how have you seen the pro game influence the college game schematically? I know back, you know, even a little farther than that, Gino went to a lot of NBA practices at the, and that was something that he implemented at UConn. There's other coaches that have certainly done it as well. But have you felt like as the popularity of the W has grown and more resources are also thrown into the women's game that you've seen an influx of higher level tactics at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, the thing I've seen over the last 7-8 years is just more synergy between the college game and the pro game and between men and women. So, for example, I watch a ton of Aces because Becky Hammond, I think, like, it's interesting for me to see what she uses from her time in the NBA and what she doesn't. You know, for me coming from the NBA, there's some stuff that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely going to do this, and other stuff that just doesn't work in college, right? Or doesn't exactly translate. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of different trends. In some ways, like, the NBA doesn't really use the traditional back to the basket post player very much.
Right.
And the W still has, because you still had your Griners and your Sylvia Fowles and your really big players. But even now the W, I think, is getting a little bit more away from that and trying to create more space. So for me, I've tried really to model a lot of the things we do off of the W and some off the NBA. First, because I like it. I think it's, you know, a fun brand of basketball, but also because our players want to be pros. And so if I was running a very systemic pattern that our players only get good at that, it's going to be harder for them to transition to the pros. And so, yeah, we try to incorporate, you know, kind of as much as we can that feels more pro style. I think it's faster. Interestingly, not to go run on too long here in our basketball nerdery, but I think women's college basketball is trying to mimic the pros, maybe even more. You know, I had one, basketball writer, you know, to call me last year and tell me, in talking to a lot of GMs, they in the NBA, that they really enjoyed watching our team. Obviously Juju, you know, is I think anyone enjoys watching her, but more so we're trying to play faster, that where there's a lot of college men's basketball where there's a lot of control and coaches trying to slow things down, and we're more trying to just let them go and make reads. I thought that was an interesting point.
No, I that's certainly my viewing experience. Whatever level I'm at, certainly not your level, certainly not the NBA GM level, but as someone who watches a lot of hoop, I find the women's game on the college level far more entertaining for that exact reason. And I'm like, can we please just at least change the shot clock in the men's game and give it a chance, make them go a little bit faster? But the control in the men's game is it's not great. It's not great. Lindsey Gottlieb's with us here on the Hoffman Show for another minute or two. I got two more questions for you, Lindsey. First, the question, if you will, about Kiki translating to the league is on the defensive side. Everyone's got so much confidence in her offensive skill set. Playing defense in the WNBA is hard as can be for any rookie. So this is not necessarily just a Kiki thing, but how do you think she'll be able to learn and translate and get up to speed on the defensive end for the Mystics starting this summer?
I think she's going to do just fine. I think her IQ is high. Her want to, her will is high. Her athleticism is off the charts. Like you said, you know, for any player, it's now all of a sudden you're guarding a pro on every single possession. You know, it's not somebody, you know, in college maybe that you just have a natural ability advantage over all the time. So that will be an adjustment. But there's no doubt in my mind she can guard her position. She could probably guard other positions, switchable. She'll continue to learn, which I think is great. But as far as rookies go, I think her physical capacity and her mental capacity are going to be in the top, 1% of readiness there.
And yeah, if she can learn engineering at Stanford, I feel like she can learn defense at WNBA. She can clearly learn anything.
Yeah, you know what? People sometimes are surprised. Like, pick and roll defenses come harder to some people than engineering. But, you know, Kiki's someone who I think has the basketball smarts and the book smarts. So it's a pretty good package. And like you mentioned, I think Mystics fans, I know there's a lot of change, right? For the Mystics, you know, I've known Jamila for a long time. She's awesome. Got some Ivy League, you know, blood there flowing through, you know, your coaching yep. staff, which is great. There's a lot of change, but for certain, I think Kiki is someone that the community will love, that teammates will love, that the coaching staff in the front office. I mean, she's just a high value investment if you're investing in a young player, because I think her upside is huge. And I can't wait to come to DC this summer. I'll probably take my kids, do some monuments and do a Mystics game. And I'm really excited for her, and I'm excited for the organization.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for what they've done, and we hope to see you when you're in D.C. Okay, well, now we've added one more question. If you've known Jamila a long time, and then I'll get to the final one on Kiki, what was your reaction when she took the GM job? Because that's a name for a lot of us that kind of came out of nowhere. But if you've known her, she's obviously, I mean, getting to know her a little bit, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction to her getting that job here in D.C.?
Yeah, it's not like I text her every day or talk to her every day. So I had no idea she was taking the job. It's not like I had some insider information, but going back to that word, I use synergy, like the fact that the NBA and the WNBA now just, there's more, I think that's just good for basketball. Like one time I had a conversation with Adam Silver before there were women in the league. And he's like, if we're not considering women, then we're not considering 50% of the talent pool. Right. And so similarly, I would say, now when Mystics ownership want to look for a GM, like, of course you want to consider people who've been in the NBA, male or female, right? And you just got to find the right person. So I was super excited when I saw it. We have a mutual friend. So Sharman Smith, who's the head coach at Cal, was my assistant for a long time, played with Jimmy at Stanford. So I've just kind of known her over the years in that capacity. I too think she's brilliant. I'm glad she's in the W now. I think she'll bring unique approach. I also knew when I was in the NBA, she worked with our guys, right, in the rookie orientation program. So we had a lot of conversation at that time, I think she's just someone who is going to be really good and kind of a neat person for Kiki to be around as she develops as a pro and as a young businesswoman too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last thing for Lindsay Gottlieb, the head coach at the University of Southern California, where, of course, she had Kiki Iriafin this year. Coach, the last two games of your season were obviously incredibly hard after Juju's injury, but we also saw incredible production from Kiki. And, first of all, I have to commend you on not just the grace, but the humanity you handled that situation with. It was really, really commendable and really admirable, I thought, from the outside. But as you're talking to Kiki in those moments, specifically, and knowing that okay, now when we get on the court, this is going to run through you. You're our star now, and to see how she responded, what were those conversations like? And did it surprise you? I'm guessing not. But what were those conversations like to see how she responded, and how did you interact with her in those moments?
Yeah, didn't surprise me at all. And part of that is, and we didn't talk about this earlier in the conversation, I think is really significant in terms of Kiki's growth. She came here knowing we had Juju, right? Like that's a little bit, I think that speaks to what a good pro she's going to be. Like we talked to her about, you're going to be playing in the W with guards, with guards that are pros, with guards that are creative, go off script sometimes. And that's going to be good growth for you too. And I was so impressed. Like there's this new documentary that's going to be coming out on ESPN that features her and a couple other people. And I was watching a rough cut and really got emotional. There's a moment when we beat UConn at UConn, and there's this really cool moment between Kiki and Juju where she puts her arm around her and Kiki says, I'm so proud of you, Juju. And I'm just here to, to make your life easier and do this together. I'm just like, what other superstar has the ability to really do that, in real time? So this, you know, when Juju went down, it was devastating for all of us. It was not the first conversation I had with Kiki about, you know, her role and the ability to step into what's ever needed. And so at that point, sure enough, was, yep, everything's going to go through you. And I knew she could handle it. Doesn't mean you have to score 36, which she did in one game, right?
Right.
It might also be facilitating. It might also be drawing a crowd and kicking it. But I think, you know, you kind of saw the trajectory of the whole year, right? Like there were superstar, you know, performances, but there also just was the steady, you know, I'm going to be here every night doing my job. And I've told her, like, we were good the year before, but she rose us to another stratosphere, you know, and made us true national championship contenders. And it didn't end that way. Obviously, no one would have chosen that injury. But I also think you got to see kind of fully what Kiki was capable of. And she's just going to be a terrific pro. She really is.
We can't wait to see it here in D.C. And Lindsay, hopefully we'll see you this summer. We're at Mystics Games ourselves quite a bit. So have fun with the kids on the vacation. And then we'll see you down at what they're calling Care First Arena now.
Okay, sounds great. Nice to talk to you.
You as well. Thanks so much. Lindsay Gottlieb Bye. With us here on the Hoffman Show. Head coach, USC Women's Basketball. We'll wrap up the hour before we're going to embark on an adventure at 5 o'clock. We're going to welcome in our friend Zach Harper from The Athletic, just brilliant basketball writer, podcaster, et cetera. And we're going to fix the NBA draft lottery because it's fundamentally broken. I don't know that we're going to fix it before the Wizards are in it in next month, but we're going to fix it in the long term. But we'll wrap up the hour next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. The NBA draft lottery is fundamentally broken. It doesn't accomplish anything that it's supposed to, and it's ruining the sport. That might be a slight over-exaggeration, but only because it's one of the things that's ruining the sport. Luckily, Zach Harper from The Athletic is going to help us solve all of the NBA's problems coming up at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation. But Anthony, just quickly to react to the conversation we just had with Lindsey Gottlieb, the head coach at the University of Southern California, of course, head coach of their women's basketball program, where she coached Kiki Arya-Finn. Every conversation I have about the draftees that we just had, and every conversation, frankly, with them, I am just so pumped. And I know that eventually there will be the reality of the basketball. This is a young team in a hard league full of really good teams. And there's going to be some nights where the basketball probably ain't super pretty this year. Then again, if they stay healthy, they're 1,000% of the mix to make the playoffs. I mean, if they can get Shakir Austin and Brittany Sykes on the court, that enough should be enough to push them towards the playoffs. Nevertheless, the growth that we expect to see from Aaliyah Edwards in year two, what Stephanie Dolson can still do is a big 3-point shooter, all that kind of stuff. But just, you like to, I think in sports, you know, the more we get to know the athletes, the more we care about who they are as people. Like when social media hadn't been invented and really your only access to the athlete person was like if your local paper wrote a feature story or a magazine wrote a feature story, it was a lot easier to separate the art from the artist, I feel like. And I think a lot of older fans still feel that way, where they're maybe not as locked in on social media, and it's just kind of like, oh yeah, I don't care about who that person is. I just want them to play well for me on Sundays, or, you know, whatever day of the week your favorite sport is. But I think for fans that are a little bit younger, or if people that are on social media, like, it's way more fun to root for good people. And what a trio they got on Monday. Like, and also, how lucky are we that these coaches are also super dynamic. Kenny was great. Kenny Brooks, Neil Ivey, just dynamic. And, you know, Lindsey Gottlieb's like one of the smartest people in basketball. And we got to talk to all three this week. So I genuinely, Anthony, great. Anthony booked all those. Great job, dude. Excellent work, and thank you, because that was a lot of fun for me. And I got to interview all those people about all the good people.
No, it definitely was a lot of fun. Also, just good to get a behind-the-scenes look at, you know, who we got here. And to speak to, you know, getting to understand them off the court, because we're not there with them. Like, even when we get their TikToks, even when they, you know, they have their IG reels, that we get to see, like, I think fans from a fan perspective, we enjoy those kinds of things because, again, we're seeing them outside of, like, you know, their craft, outside of work, and they get to show off their personality. So to, you know, partner that with, you know, the character that they have, that, you know, the coaches told us about them this week, is just, you know, it's exciting to have those kinds of people here in the nation's capital putting on for our city.
For sure. And human beings are dynamic. Like, human beings contain multitudes, at least the fun ones. And, yeah, you know, whether it's the orange carpet show out that we saw from Sonia Citron and frankly from Kiki and from Georgia on Monday, or, like, I mean, Jaden's draft fit from last year showing, like, this is a guy that we know is incredibly blue collar in his work ethic, mm-hmm, very just like nose to the grindstone, gets up at the same time every single day, does the same thing, very routine oriented. But then for him to be able to show out a little bit at the draft, get off his fits, and, you know, Mikey Zane, we're still getting to see him. Like, we get to know these guys and these women off the field and get to see some of the dynamic nature of their personality. It's fun getting to hear, I mean, I'll listen to Terry McLaurin talk about pretty much anything. Like, he's a smart, thoughtful dude. And, like, he did the Pivot Pod a couple years ago, and there was a bunch of stuff that he talked about that was really deep. And I care about his opinion on that stuff, because I think he's a smart, thoughtful person. And so, you know, young or older, Terry's all of a sudden older. When the hell did that happen? You know, all across the teams across town, it's been really fun to, and you know, credit, frankly, all this stuff is on some level manicured if it's coming from the team. That's the nature of it. It's PR. It's not journalism. But they are getting a ton of access. And I think we're getting to see even just like some of the goofy stuff that we get to see. I mean, how many times in Real Things do we do the whiteboard questions from the Commanders, for instance? Or, you know, getting to talk to Jordan about Jordan Poole about the French takeover of the Wizards. The hell of a lot of wee-wee up in here. So we've had some good ones on the show for sure. And I really enjoyed those conversations this week, and I'm very excited to get to Media Day for the Mystics specifically here on it's Media Day is April 28th. Obviously, that day is the Monday after the NFL draft. We'll be talking pure NFL draft on the show, but we will share a bunch of the interviews between Media Day and the start of the WNBA season. And we will put all of them on our YouTube page and in our podcast feed as well. So make sure that you are subscribed for the Mystic stuff. You can go to the Team 980 and also at Hoffman W Sports for all of the women's sports content. Spirit, by the way, have a huge match this weekend. Previewed it earlier today on that YouTube page with my guy Andre Carlisle. It's part of the WOSO show. But coming up next, we're going NBA. We're all over the place today. But we're calling today Anthony's show. The title of today's show, Draftapalooza Friday. We did some NFL draft off the top. We kind of just did some WNBA draft. The NBA draft, and specifically the lottery, is the next one on the schedule after the NFL. So why don't we fix it? Because it sucks. Zach Harper from The Athletic is going to join us to help us do just that next.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.